Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we're going to get to your phone calls here in just a few minutes. Just a couple of minutes, we're going to get to your phone calls. We've got the phone lines open here on this Monday, Montana Talks, just over 2 weeks before Election Day here in Montana. And this is the show where you get to talk. In fact, we've already got callers lining up right now. We got Denver in Poplar. We got Tom in Bozeman. And we got phone lines for you. But first, we had former Republican presidential candidate and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott in Missoula on Saturday. I got to catch up with him and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. Senator Tim Scott, good to see you here in Montana. I understand this is only one of just a handful of states you're actually going to be hitting here with about 2 weeks to go.
Absolutely. Listen, I am looking forward to Tim Sheehy being the 51st vote in the United States Senate that allows us to carry forward President Trump's new agenda, and it will look a lot like the old agenda, which means tax cuts for the average family. It means having confidence in the American people to do what they think is best with their resources and make their own decisions. It also means closing that southern border and keeping Americans safe. I can't wait to have a president who believes in the American people more than he does the actual federal government. And having the control of the United States Senate to carry forward that agenda means sending Tim Sheehy as the 51st vote to the United States Senate. That's great news for Montana, better news for America.
We'll talk more Montana here in just a second, but at the national level, do you think the dam is starting to break towards President Trump in these battleground states? I mean, it seems like union voters here in Montana, traditional Democrat strongholds, they're breaking free from the Democrat Party and voting Republican. The black vote, why do you see that moving more and more towards President Donald J. Trump right now as well?
Well, I think when you can measure the loss of your income over the last 4 years under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you say, what is there to lose? $1,075 on average per month is what the average family is losing. Whether you're black or white, Hispanic or Native American, whether you're Asian, whether you live in the rich section or the poor section, losing $12,000 of spending power over the next 12 months, you can stop the bleeding by voting for President Trump. And the good news is voters are saying yes to his agenda and no to Kamala Harris. Plus, who knows who in the world knows who she is? We know one thing, President Trump, clear, concise, and in command.
All right, I've got about a minute or so to go of my quick conversation there with Tim Scott before their rally in Missoula. They had a big crowd in Missoula, by the way, and then about 2 hours later, an even bigger crowd down in the Bitterroot Valley in Hamilton. So I've got another minute and a half or so, maybe a couple of minutes with Tim Scott, plus a couple of minutes with Tim Sheehy 2 weeks out from the election. I'll share that later in the hour because I want to hear from you. We want to hear your phone calls. We'll jump right into the phone lines right after this. Denver in Poplar first up, and then more callers in the line racked and stacked after that. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app if you just want to send us a quick message that way as well. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Brett's our...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is great. One of our Democrat callers was already on the phone lines before we even kicked off our statewide show. It was fun seeing Denver in Poplar in Luster earlier this year. Denver, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'll tell you why I called. I'm calling about the NRA. You know this Sheehy guy and several others talk about the NRA. So just for all the listeners, you need to hear this. You need to go online and look at the NRA. They've got busts. Their top three officials been arrested for embezzlement. That top guy, Wayne LaPierre, is on the hook for $5.4 million. The next guy, the financial guy, $2.6 million. And the HR guy, $2.4 million. Now, at the cost, you know, $45 a year times 500 members, that's $225 million of the NRA. All you people are paying that they have been using the... And LaPierre, he spent his on wine, women, expensive gifts, expensive vacations. He said the rest he just wasted. So I think you people need to look into the NRA. And when they said he got an A-plus from the NRA, John Tester got an F. Well, I'm glad he got an F. That just shows that.
So even if you don't like the NRA, so Denver, I got to ask you, so even if you don't like the NRA and the National Rifle Association, which gave John Tester an F and Tim Sheehy an A-plus rating, what about the GOA, the Gun Owners of America? What about the MSSA, the Montana Shooting Sports Association? I mean, John Tester gets an F from all the gun rights groups.
None of that comes up. None of that has anything to do with this NRA. I just wanted to talk about the NRA, and I'd like your people, all the people who are interested in who are in the NRA, to actually look and see what goes on there. And, you know, the people this hunting season, you need to think about where your money's going.
All right. So, hey, Denver, can I throw one question at you? Can I throw one question at you before I get to our next callers? Because I know you're a big fan of Joe Biden, and I'm assuming Kamala Harris, too. Why won't John Tester, we know that he supports Kamala Harris, why won't he just come out and endorse her? Why is he, you know, why is he basically hiding his support for Kamala Harris? And, I mean, he openly said that it's because he's running for re-election, which is why he won't just come out and say it.
Well, I think it's a different kind of situation. He's sitting back trying to be calm about it, and everybody else is coming up telling so many lies about him. I mean, it's ridiculous. I believe he should totally support Kamala Harris, and I'll bet you behind the scenes, I'm sure he does, and I'm sure we'll hear something prior to the election on his support of Kamala.
I totally agree with you there. I think he totally supports. Well, I don't agree with everything he necessarily said, but I think you're exactly right. I think John Tester very clearly is in total support of Kamala Harris. In fact, he told the Montana Television Network here, I think over the weekend, why he won't just come out and endorse her. Let me see where I put that. Oh, here it is. He let it slip why he is not publicly supporting her, even though he does support her.
A little bit and ask about Vice President Kamala Harris.
Yes.
In 2020, you did endorse her as the VP for President Biden. In fact, I found a tweet that said she's a proven fighter that you put out. Why are you not choosing to endorse her now?
Because I'm up for election.
Yeah, because he's up for election. So he doesn't want to publicly announce what he privately supports behind closed doors. Very telling, isn't it? Denver, great to hear from you, my friend, and look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate hearing your insight. Next up, let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron. You know, I just can't believe anyone with even half a brain or half an understanding of what's going on in the world could vote for Kamala Harris. But in any event, just ran a commercial by a group calling themselves the Justice Project, which was just, you know, complete falsehoods. I know absolutely for a fact that millions of dollars of Planned Parenthood money is coming in from San Francisco in an effort to sway Montana Supreme Court elections. We see these bilious ads all over the radio and the television. They talk one issue, reproductive freedom. Well, what they don't tell you is even if both of these candidates, Wilson and Swanson, win, the liberals still have a 4-3 majority on the court. And if constitutional referendum number 128 passes, then it makes the issue moot because the rights to an abortion are now in the Constitution. So they obfuscate the law. They confuse people in an effort to sway elections. The trial lawyers, same thing. All they're concerned about is defending their child molesters and criminal defendants. And so naturally they want someone like Bitigary on the court because she's going to be soft on crime. The one good thing I have to say is many of us in Bozeman have dumped the Bozeman Chronicle, you know, a left-wing rag. They had a history of hiring recent graduates out of the journalism school at University of Montana who had no idea what they were talking about. Extreme liberals. Finally, thank God, we've got a gentleman named Sam Worthington who's coming in as the new publisher, and he is going to make an effort to be fair and to present you with the news. You learn
interesting.
What the truth is. And
I'm not going to hold my breath. But that's an interesting development. All right, hold that thought. Got to take a break. Did you know?
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I chatted with Tom and Bozeman a little bit more during the break there. Yeah, Tom, I've heard the same thing from a few other folks, well-connected folks in Bozeman. They say, yeah, there's a new publisher at the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, because the Bozeman Chronicle has just turned into a left-wing rag. And so apparently there's a new publisher that's trying to turn it around, trying to clean house. Apparently they've already cleaned house a little bit there, Tom and Bozeman tells me. But, I'm always of the let's wait and see approach, you know, trust but verify, because you'll get this every couple of years. Some new newspaper publisher will move to town. Oh, I'm going to clean this up. We're going to do real news and no longer have just all this biased left wing garbage, and we're going to be more fair. And then, nope, never happens. Never happens. So, but best wishes to the new publisher there. I was just on their website last week, and they have Daily Montanan, Montana Free Press. I mean, basically, you have two dark money funded liberal organizations that are creating their own news from their own perspective that's copy and pasted onto these other so-called news sites. So it's like, well, still seeing the copy and paste. The Daily Montanan is literally just a joke. It's a liberal blog, and it's funded by the state networks that it's a part of. It's funded by Hans-Jörg Wies. Those of you who are familiar with the American Prairie Reserve know exactly who Hans-Jörg Wies is. Hans Wies is the Swiss billionaire who funds the American Prairie Reserve and all these wacko left-wing environmental activists that are trying to kick ranchers off the land in Montana. That's who funds this state news network that the Daily Montana is a part of. So any newspaper that would copy and paste their stories onto their publication, to me, you lose credibility. You don't have credibility. So if they're cleaning house, that's an easy way to start right there. Let's go to now, if you want to put it on the opinion pages, look, I do commentary. I share opinions here. It's a talk show. People want to hear an opinion, and then they want to agree or they want to disagree. But it's when people pretend to be doing news when they're really just pushing their opinion that really drives people nuts. Next up, let's go to Susan in Missoula. Susan, good to hear from you.
Hey there. I was at the Jim Sheehy rally in Missoula, and I want to challenge everyone across the state of Montana to do what I just did. I took four of my neighbors' sealed ballots that I knew were Republicans and delivered them to the election office just now and dropped them in the election box because they did not want to mail them. If you deliver election ballots to the election office, you save the taxpayer postage because after China virus, we ended up with having to pay postage on our ballots. So let's not pay for our ballots. Let's just drop them off at the election office and help get the vote out by delivering ballots. It is legal to gather up sealed ballots and deliver them to the election office. And if you could comment on that, I'd appreciate
it. Well, I tell you, I hand-carried my ballot to the elections office, and then I the Montana Secretary of State's website, you can go track your ballot. And so I was able to go on there and make sure that they received my ballot and that them, that my ballot was officially accepted. So that's great. Now I know it's there. I hand carried it. There's problems with the Postal Service all the time. So just if you can hand carry it, that's what I did. And that's I know I appreciate this peace of mind. Susan, I got to ask you, it was great seeing you in Missoula at the Tim Scott, Tim Sheehy rally. Wasn't that so powerful? You've done so much for our veterans. When Tim Scott asked all the veterans in the audience to stand, and then he walked down the aisles and looked them in the eye and shake their hand, and then continued his speech talking about the importance of Montana and how important these next 2 weeks are. I thought that was just the most powerful moment of the whole event. It was just incredible.
But let me say it one more time, though. It is more important to vote, and we need to get out the vote prior to November 5th, and we need to help get the votes collected. So I urge people to collect sealed ballots, and please do not think it's illegal to collect ballots. It is not.
That's right. Yeah, we tried to stop ballot harvesting in Montana, but then the left-wing courts, you know, did what the left-wing courts do and throw out any laws they don't like. So you're right. You can collect the ballots, the sealed ballots of your friends and neighbors, and deliver those to the election office as well if people need a hand. All right, Susan, great to see you. Thanks for all you do for our veterans and for our country. Great to hear from you. Got a lot of callers on the phone lines to get to here. Next up, well, actually, yeah, Susan's call reminds me of something that Tim Sheehy said at the rally on Saturday. I want to play that audio for you. So I'll get to that here in just a second, but let's go to State Senator Brad Molnar. He's been patiently waiting on the phone lines. Senator Molnar, what's going on?
Well, they say patience is a virtue, so you just labeled me.
You're pretty dang virtuous, if that's the bar. I don't know. Let's stop while we're ahead. Right?
wherever you look, that's what they're saying about me.
That's right. We'll stop there. Hey. We'll stop there.
Okay. Hey, thanks for letting me know. I'll talk to you later. In today's paper, they go into the top property taxpayers in the county. And I wanted to do a little deep dive in that. I think your people across the state will appreciate this. MDU was $2.7 million. Northwestern is $15.1 million. Colstrip isn't in there, though that appears as well in reality. In the last rate increase, 18% of that was property taxes of Northwestern, et cetera, that appears not on your tax bill, but in your utility bill. 25% of that was property taxes on your natural gas bill. So you might be upset about the property taxes on your home, but each month you're paying taxes to support Northwestern Energies because all of theirs, by law, must be paid by utility ratepayers. The advantage to the state is you don't know you're paying utility bills or you don't know that on your utility bill you're paying a tremendous amount of property taxes. Colstrip isn't on there, but that will appear in your 95 mills. The over-reliance on property taxes is why some of this stuff is not allowed to become transparent. If you simply did not tax Northwestern, that tax that they would have paid appears on your property tax bill and people would go bonzo. People need to understand that they're shifting the blame for at least part of the rate increases to the Public Service Commission for the legislature, the Department of Revenue, the governor's office don't have to address it. And that is what my message is today. I've raised this at two of our debates with my opponent. She will not comment on it. And I think the people need to know that somebody is standing up and saying, let me show you the truth on this. that these are things that the public, a public service commissioner that knows about taxes, because he's been on the tax committee, can work with the legislature on, but only if they want to work on it.
Well, it's the other thing that stands out to me here is kind of the common sense of it all is that, okay, if businesses pay property tax, that means the people who are the customers will pay that property tax also, because those costs will get passed on to the consumers, on to the customers, right? That's one thing that stands out here. And so as legislative Democrats and fussy bussy want to raise property taxes on businesses and others, that's going to get passed down to the consumers. So then we're going to end up paying more in property taxes once again. The second thing that stands out is it's a reminder that we have got to rebuild our industrial base in Montana, in eastern Montana in particular, but across the whole state. Because, look, Northwestern Energy, when they put that natural gas plant in Laurel, look at how much property tax they paid. And then the people in Laurel, as a result of having this great natural gas plant in their backyard, were able to you know, be asked for less as a result. So that's the two takeaways as well, if you ask me.
Well, it's not a matter of they pay less. They pay less in the property tax bill. That they pay more for the employee because the tax is increased to that.
All right, your call's starting to break up. It's digitizing a little bit on us there, Senator Molnar. But yeah, but great phone call. Thanks for sticking around. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Here's one more soundbite from Tim Scott. One more of our back and forth with former presidential candidate and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. And then Rick in the Bitterroot, you'll be up next right after that. Looking at Montana, John Tesser, he survived by the skin of his teeth in the past by pretending to be a moderate, by playing this little flip-flop flat-top game where he pretends to be this moderate. I think Montanans are finally seeing through that. But a lot of people are saying, hey, we can't take this for granted. We got to fight, keep our foot on the gas pedal here with about 2 weeks to go.
100% Tim Sheehy. He's a man, the myth, and the legend. Let's bring him to Washington, number one, right? Number two, why? Well, because January 5th, 2021, we lost 2 seats in Georgia. 1 seat alone cost the American taxpayers $2 trillion plus dollars. If you want to save this country, trillions, I didn't misspeak, by the way, trillions of dollars, elect Tim Sheehy, November 5th.
Talk about how liberal the Senate's gotten here, and I know you got to run, but just how liberal the Senate has gotten, and really it's all come down to one vote, Kamala Harris breaking all these ties. Absolutely. It's because liberals like John Tester put her in that position.
Well, 100%. Here's what we know without question. If you want 52 states in this union, including D.C. and Puerto Rico, don't elect Tim Sheehy and give the Democrats the majority. If you want to see $4 trillion of tax increases, give the Democrats control. If you don't, elect Tim Sheehy. The choice could not be more clear than it is today. Tim Sheehy, common sense, Kamala Harris, John Tester. I'm shaking my head for those of you who cannot see me.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau says with the assistance, more than 4,600 producers across the nation will see another production season. Some 4,600 plus financially distressed farmers who owe money on USDA direct or guaranteed loans will share $250 million in payments from the government. USDA said it has provided roughly $2.4 billion in assistance, including that announced last week, to 43,000 plus distressed borrowers with funding from the 2022 Climate Health and Tax Law. For more on these loan payments, contact your local Farm Service Agency office. Last week was National School Lunch Week, and the International Dairy Foods Association reported that its Healthy School Milk Commitment is responsible for reducing added sugar levels by 10% in flavored school milk between the 2023 and 2024 school years. The commitment was launched in April of 23 by 37 school milk processors, representing approximately 95% of the school milk volume in the United States. Since that time, added sugar and flavored school milk, such as chocolate milk, has declined from 8.2 grams per serving to 7.4 grams per serving as well. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I got to get to this story, too. I've got to get to this one. You guys remember, I think it was last Thursday. Clayton, can we lower that bumper music a little bit? That's a little hot. I can't even hear myself. If we could just lower the bumper. Thanks. Lower that bumper just a little bit. It's a little hard to hear over the music there for some reason. Maybe it's just my headset. This question came up. Who was it? Somebody asked us a question last week, and it's a question everybody's thinking, but nobody really wants to say, right? Somebody asked us a question. What would happen if an assassination attempt were successful? What if a presidential candidate wins the election 2 weeks from tomorrow, but an assassination attempt is successful? What happens then? Who would become the president? Or, God forbid, it was in the next 2 weeks or at all, like, who becomes the presidential candidate? If you remember when that question was raised live on the air, because we just take phone calls, people get a call in, right? Last week, I said, you know what? I'm going to shoot a note to Rob Nadelson, a former University of Montana constitutional law professor. Well, he got back to me. And I meant to share this with you on Friday, but I, you know, we get so busy taking your phone calls before you know it, the show's over. So I want to share this with you before we run out of time here this morning. But first, let's go to, let's see, who do we got? Rick in the Bitterroot next up on the phone lines. Rick, what's going on?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How about you?
I'm wonderful. Somewhere around 4:30 or 5 o'clock when I turned on KMPT radio, I heard a national news broadcast where one of the park rangers was talking about Mr. Sheehy actually shooting himself in the arm and having to go to the hospital to remove a bullet. I'm trying to figure out what bullet would do that.
Isn't it funny? Do you remember, Rick, when that story first, when the fake news media trotted out this attack?
How did it come back up?
Well, because they're desperate. They've got 2 weeks to go. John Tester is failing in the polls, so they're desperate. So they're recycling every fake news attack they tried to throw at Tim Sheehy from 6 months ago. So that's what they did with this story again.
So is there an explanation as to why Mr. Sheehy had to go to the hospital? I don't know. Did they remove a bullet? This is all unknown information.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with your first line. So remember back in April, they claimed that, oh, no, Tim Sheehy didn't get shot in Afghanistan. No, he shot himself with a Colt 45 LC. I told that.
Good for him.
Well, no,
I
told that story to Paul Mushaven and Mark Wilson down the hall on the country radio station, and they laughed their butts off. They're like, if you shot yourself in the arm with that kind of a weapon, you wouldn't have an arm left. So Rick, here's what the fake news media is doing with this story. The Washington Post ran this attempted hit piece back in April. It backfired on them. It actually got people to like Tim Sheehy even more. Because and if you go to the Montana Talks website right now, you'll see this headline: desperate liberal Montana media trots out the same fake news. So in that headline, I go back to the attempted hit piece they published back in April, and we point out why the story actually makes people like Tim Sheehy even more. But you asked a good question. Well, why are they reporting this story again if they did this story back in April? Here's how they're claiming that they have new information. They're claiming, well, now we have the park ranger who's making these allegations against Tim Sheehy. He's now coming public. We already told you who this guy was 6 months ago.
Could we see his written report?
I believe so. I think they published that. But here's what else you can see. If you go to MontanaTalks.com right now, this guy, the fake news media, and including these TV stations in Montana, they're claiming, oh, well, look, we're hearing from him. We just found out who this park ranger is. Laura Loomer and Jack Posobiec exposed this anti-Trump activist 6 months ago. I told you on our Montana Talks website who this guy was and who this guy is 6 months ago. Now, this guy, this retired park ranger, told the Associated Press that he doesn't have any connection with the Tester campaign or other Democrat organizations. But then 2 days later, he shows up in what? A Chuck Schumer-funded campaign commercial. The guy got busted for lying to the Associated Press. Mike Berg with the NRSC said this. He says, from denying any involvement with Democrat organizations to starring in Schumer's ads in 2 days. It's laughable how desperate these people are. They never ask any tough questions of John Tester, but then they try to re-rack their fake news hits against Tim Sheehy with 2 weeks to go. I think Montanans are seeing right through it. All right, here's one. Oh, no, we played the final. Speaking of Tim Sheehy, I caught up briefly with Tim Sheehy at the Missoula rally as well. I'll play that for you here in a few minutes. Let's see. A lot of moving parts here. I know you guys are sitting back and you're saying, Aaron, what did Rob Nadelson say? What would happen if an assassination attempt were successful? All right, here's what Rob Nadelson says. And I'll get this on our Montana Talks website later today so you can read through it if you miss a part. If the presidential candidate is assassinated before the Electoral College meets, then the electors choose the replacement. Probably they would choose the assassinated candidate's running mate, but I don't think they would have to. If the Electoral College meets and elects a president who is assassinated before Inauguration Day, then I think the 25th Amendment would control it. It states in part, quote, in case of the removal of the president from office or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. One can argue that the person assassinated was president-elect, not president, when he died, so the 25th Amendment does not apply. But I think the courts would interpret the amendment more widely than that. Thus, on the inauguration day, the vice president-elect would be inaugurated and immediately become president. So anyway, those were kind of the different scenarios that Rob Nadelson addressed there. Hopefully that is not a question that we need to seriously discuss. But it was a question somebody raised last week. I told you we'd get the answer. Isn't it just crazy that we even have to be talking about that and thinking about something like that because of how crazy the radical left has gotten in America with two assassination attempts on President Trump already. All right, next up, we've got Sadie in Bozeman. Sadie, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, you know, give out a shout-out to President Trump for even having to go through all the crap that he's had to go through. But anyways, I just want to talk about the plastic ban in Bozeman. I obviously think that eliminating plastic would probably be a good idea for most people, but I don't want the government telling me what I can and cannot do. My biggest thing is, why are we so focused on plastic bags? Everything is wrapped in plastic. Like, instead of targeting the consumers, why not target the manufacturers?
Yeah, so there is on the ballot for Bozeman voters, it's basically a plastic ban. Not just plastic grocery bags, plastic straws, all sorts of plastic things, which is only going to raise costs even more. I don't know about you, Sadie, but don't you think groceries and restaurant bills are already a little too expensive? Do we really want to pile on?
I mean, I agree, obviously. Everything is more expensive. And, you know, I think there's probably other ways to put things in, you know, our groceries in boxes like Costco and Town and Country do. But I just think it's ridiculous that it's even on the ballot. Talking about plastic.
Did you hear that the guy from Bozeman that called into KMMS earlier this morning and he said, yeah, they should ban plastic. Everybody should use canvas bags. And then we found out
I did hear it.
And then we find out that he doesn't even use canvas bags. He could do that right now. He doesn't need the government to tell him. He could do it right now, but he doesn't do it. He just wants to tell everybody else what to do.
exactly. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling. Great to hear from you. I appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's see. We just about got to take another break here. Shortest break of the hour. Let's see. Donald Trump working at McDonald's. Here we go.
I'm looking for a job, and I've always wanted to work at McDonald's. I never did. I'm running against somebody that said she did, but it turned out to be a totally phony story. So,
President Trump!
Well, that's a good-looking group.
Hello, everybody.
I'm having a lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, man, the videos of President Trump working at McDonald's were just classics. X.com/Aaron Flint if you want to see some of the highlights. I didn't know this. Apparently, 1 in 8 Americans have worked at a McDonald's before.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Seal veteran Tim Sheehy in the house, Missoula, Montana. How cool to have Senator Tim Scott. You know, I went to Howard University back in the day, and so to see the, you know, the black vote pushing more and more towards Donald J. Trump is so great to see, but it's something that I saw starting to happen 20-plus years ago when I was at Howard University, because the Democrat Party is failing. They're failing Indian country here. They're failing our inner cities. They're failing this whole country right now.
Yeah, and Tim Scott's the best example of it, and having him on the national stage for us spreading that word for all the minorities across America to say, hey, wake up and make sure you're voting for your best interest. And it's America first. I mean, those words have been so transformed, but it's very simple. America first. We're going to put our own people first. We're going to put our own economy first. We're going to put our own borders first. And that applies to all Americans. And I think Tim Scott's an absolutely fantastic example of that, for a guy who grew up in abject poverty to now be, you know, a U.S. senator and obviously a former presidential candidate is a fantastic example of the potential of the American dream. So it's great to have him here. I'm honored to have him here stumping for us. We got 14 days to go. People got to get out, vote early, vote absentee. Any way you can, make sure your voice is heard, because we got to save this country.
You know, you and I, anybody who served in the military, over 100,000 veterans all across this state, we've served with Americans of every race, color, creed, background, and we're all in this fight together right now. It really could go one way or the other in the next 2 weeks at the national level. We're feeling good about Montana, though, but we can't take it for granted.
No, we can't, and they will say anything, spend anything, do anything in the next 2 weeks to hold on to John Tester's seat. And we're seeing it right now in the press. Expect more of that crap. Unfortunately, that's where we're at now. They can't win on the issues. They can't win on character, so they're just going to smear their way to the finish line and hope that they can pull off a miracle. We just got to keep our foot on the gas. Most importantly, we have to vote. We got to get the vote out. It's going to be secure here in Montana. You can trust the voting process, but you got to make sure you actually vote.
All right, there we go. Full write-up at MontanaTalks.com and photos from that rally with Tim Scott as well. Let's go to Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I just wanted to bring your attention. I'm sure other people heard it, but on Don Bongino a couple weeks ago, a guy called in, and old Dan gave him a gold star for what he said. He said that Democrats are not on a layaway program like you get, but a lie-away program. So the more they lie, then... And Dan Bongino thought that was really a good phrase that guy came up with. It's kind of like the fellow that did the flip-flop flat top. But, yeah, they're lying. Lie away program. The more they lie, they get caught.
Well, and what's funny is...
2 months later, worse.
They already tried these lies out 6 months ago, and it didn't work. It backfired on them. Veterans rallied around Tim Sheehy even more. Why do they think the lies are going to work now? I think they're just desperate. They have nothing else. So they're like, well, let's try that one again.
Well, you're right. Like I said, all you got to do is watch all the mailers coming in. The last thing here quickly is I did vote, and we're not going to get the mailers. But I think the next one will be I saw where they're promoting John Tester building his own house or something. Pretty soon they're going to have him and Sharla living in a mud hut somewhere, going back and forth canning their groceries and stuff so we can get through the winter. That's how desperate they're getting.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Meanwhile, he's back at the bistro, cacao, sipping vodka cranberries. Did you see he spent $60,000 at the bistro, cacao, in Washington, D.C. in just the last year alone? I mean, good yeah, night. That's more than most Montanans make in a year.
Well, he's probably going to get a fat cat job if he gets his butt kicked out of there. But the thing is, I heard they put him on cash only there at that $5 place in case he don't get elected. They want to make sure they're going to get their money out of him.
Oh, he'll be taken care of. Chuck Schumer will make sure he is taken care of. He's done a lot for old Chuck over the years. All right, Willie, great to hear from you as always. Let's see, who do we got next up? Skip in Hamilton. Skip, I was at the Missoula rally. I wish I would have seen you in Hamilton.
Well, I wish I could have said hello to you too, sir. And I just wanted to tell you that when they came down to Hamilton, and the place was packed, it was in the Performing Arts Center at the high school, and I looked over my shoulder because I was sitting on that main row with some handicapped people that I could help, and I looked around, and I don't think I saw more than five or six seats empty way up in the top, and it was so dynamic and wonderful, and there were so many people there that came because they heard about it, and they wanted to hear and see Tim Sheehy personally because they were still on the fence with all the crap that they hear on the TV and the radio. And I saw so many people leaving there so happy that they had made the trip. And Tim Brown introduced both Tims, and he's always a dynamic speaker. And the whole program was so well done, and it was rocking the way that everybody was responding to Tim Scott.
Now,
so apparently, I just wanted to check the wonderful event.
Did Tim Scott do in Hamilton what he did in Missoula, where he walked down the aisle and talked to people and had the veterans stand up and shook their hands? That was so powerful in Missoula.
He did all of that, except he didn't take like, questions from them or anything, but he talked right to the people and walked right up and down the aisles. And when they came in, they made sure that they came in, and both of them took different aisles to come down before they went up on the stage. And somebody that you may have heard of or seen in your past, Bird Colonel retired Ed Sperry, 96 years old, is the guy that he's like a patriarch in this county. He said a prayer for us, and he always includes, if he can, at those events, the last verse of the Star Spangled Banner as part of his prayer.
Wow.
Which is very amazing.
That's
most
incredible.
People never know about it.
I saw Paul Whelan, who finally got released from that Russian prison. There was a report that said every single day in that Russian prison, he would sing the Star Spangled Banner. Wow. I mean, just incredible strength.